Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the June 4th edition of Commodity Week. Are you bearish yet? We'll ask our analysts if they are today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises out of Cedar Falls, Iowa. Our panelists in studio today include Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, let's go ahead and start with this question. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services, are you bearish yet?
Well, Todd, any of my comments are mine and not necessarily ADM Investors or ADM Grain Company, but you have to respect the trend. And the trend is lower, the weather looks wonderful, and the outside markets are bearish, and we're not getting much political guidance from Washington.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Well, I didn't know I was this bearish, I guess is the word of this soon, Todd, because we thought that there would probably be just a few weather scares in between here and the 4th of July, and it looks like what a difference a day makes and the difference in the forecast and the difference in the outside markets. So we're going to have to say the way it closed on Friday, yes, we're bearish.
And Mike Georgie of Allendale.
Well, it's like everybody. I think you've got to be somewhat bearish or at least think it's bearish, but I think you also got to look to seasonals and any little weather scare or anything like this, demand in the beans again, which run it up yesterday, could make everybody bullish very quickly.
All right. So I was taking a look at some things in the way of charts, the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Maybe we should start there. It finished below 9,000 or below 10,000. Not scare everybody if it was below 9, but at 99.31, 37 after that. 97 after that on Friday. It was down 3.15% on a day when the jobs numbers looked pretty good, 323 points lower for a Friday afternoon. How bad a sign do you think this is for the economy?
Well, it's a couple of things here. The problem with – there was a problem with Hungary. We continue to see the flight to the safety. We hear words like risk aversion. We're hearing problems with Goldman Sachs, problems with British Petroleum. We don't seem to get the feeling that there's a lot of support for business, and I think that the market is finally giving up. Now, hopefully something will come along to spark it. We understand Goldman Sachs was trading higher during the day, and they thought that possibly the criminal charges would be dropped against them.
Well, the other thing we need to talk about probably in the outside markets is the euro versus the dollar. The euro, of course, was what tipped things over on Friday morning, I think, in the marketplace. It moved at a pace below 120 for the first time in quite a while, but it's been there before. It started not so well either.
Well, Todd, I think that when it broke back through there, we also – a lot of other things were going wrong at the same time, and it caused selling at that point. There was stop losses that were hit. We continued to move on down. At the same time, we were seeing crude oil you know, take a dive for the day. We were seeing strength in the dollar because of what the things that Paul said. And also we got a decrease in unemployment, but a whole bunch of it was census workers and not factory hiring. And I think that was taken as a real bad sign that we have got to get people back to work permanently rather than just part-time jobs.
Mike, were you glad to see the end of Friday come and that there's actually a break in the action for 2 or 3 days and maybe the weather might take over on Monday?
I think everybody's looking forward to every weekend lately, but I think so. I mean, you know, the grains are down. There's no real reason for them to go higher. People are coming to the U.S. for the dollar securities. The economy, with, like I said, with the jobs, they were looking at 500,000. We got 431, and like Wayne said, only 20 of them were real factory jobs. You know, people are scared, and I think if we get any good, solid information, these markets could turn bullish very quickly, and if the weather is bad, I think corn could rally quite a bit.
Hey, Paul, and when you look at the weekly closes, wheat in the lead option, July down 22, July corn lead option down 19, soybeans just 2.75 lower in the lead option.
Yeah, the old bean is an unusual situation in the fact that Bungie on Thursday came in and bought some certificates or at least put on some bull spreads in soybean meal. And we understand that old crop soybean is a very tight situation going into the final deal. Overnight, there were stories of 10 cargoes being canceled out of South America. My hunch, that was a basis trade and not a flat price trade. And the argument was they had too many beans booked and the crush margins were starting to erode. Their port facilities were congested. But the other factor there is that I think it was probably a basis trade. The old crop soybeans are still in very tight supply. Old crop beans are hard to buy in some locations. The problem is I think we'll probably see a little boost in new crop bean acres. But as of right now, the market was overwhelmed with bad news and the bad idea that the economy is suffering. Unfortunately, we don't see anything on the horizon like more ethanol blending power, anything to encourage demand at this time.
Let's stick with the soybeans. And Wayne, when we look at the numbers for the week, the July beans were off 2.75 at 9.35. They had a high of 9.58 1/4, a low at 9.30 1/2. November beans settled right at $9. They were down 7.75 cents. It's probably still a profitable place for producers to sell new crop soybeans, I would suppose. Do you think they ought to?
That's a big question because they are down at the range now where they know they could have got a dollar more. So it's awfully hard to go in and say sell. But we do know that, like you say, $9 is still in the profit level situation. And come this fall, if we've got the extra acres that Paul's talking about, the decent weather stays with us, we're going to have some tremendous yields here. And we're going to have a lot of competition sticking around from South America if China keeps canceling or rolling stuff forward, that they'll be available for that. Now, as far as the old crop beans and looking at that, the meal from our dairy farmers and people like that we talked to, they're saying the meal prices are awfully pricey right now, especially out in the East Coast.
Have the bright minds at Allendale been crunching these numbers, and what do they come up with for the soybean?
On the ending stocks for next week, we think ending stocks on the beans will be about 179, so that's down about 11 million, and the corn could be at 1.698. So we think because of the both in the corn and beans, ethanol production has been real good. For the last report we got, we were 32% higher than last year, so we're well above the 20% increase. And exports have been good in both corn and beans, so we think they're going to cut ending stocks again.
Ending stocks cut by, let's see, that'd be about 11 million bushel, right?
Yeah.
You know, so down from 190 to 179. Anybody else got a guess on that one? Paul?
You know, this idea of a smaller bean carryover I think is logical. The government didn't get the residual numbers right, and they're using that as kind of a fudge factor. The argument is they'll get the residual cut down, and we will continue to end up with something under 190 as far as the carryover is concerned.
As the rest of the grains finished like this. Oats at $1.94, up 3 cents. Wheat futures in the July at 435 and three quarters, down 22. That's for the July nearby. Deferred or next year, July at 552 and three quarters, down 14 and three quarters. July corn at 361 top this week, the low at 339 and three quarters. Remember, we give you high low on the composite trade. That's day and overnight. Electronic and open outcry. July corn settled 340, down 19 cents. December futures at 359 and a half. Wayne Nelson, we're down 20 and a half cents. They're down there at the lows.
Yeah, Todd, and the one reason we heard that beans didn't rally on Thursday, I mean, corn didn't rally on Thursday when beans did, was the fact that we planted early. We got 2/3 of the crop in the ground in the major Midwest in April, and that we feel we're going to pollinate early. And if there is any weather problem coming along, we're going to be through pollination, still have quite a bit of moisture in the ground. And the corn crop is big and it will probably get bigger.
Paul, what's the weather folks saying?
Well, as near as we can tell, we've got a little weekend rain here Friday, Saturday, and then we go into a Monday rainfall event, and then around 10 days out to 11, we are seeing some warm temperatures in Texas, and then possibly the European model is giving us the idea that we are going to start seeing sluggish weather occur. We do know that the temperatures are 2 to 3 degrees above normal as far as temperatures are concerned, but the problem is it's a late June, last half June weather problem if it does occur. Some people, Drew Lerner sent a memo out to all of their subscribers saying that it would probably be sometime in July before there would be a weather problem of significance.
When you talk to clients around the Midwest, are they saying that their crop is in as good shape as USDA is predicting it is?
I think it depends who you talk to. I've talked to people in Nebraska. They think they planted early. It's been cold. Their populations aren't there. I've heard they're talking they planted 28 to 30, and they might have 25 to 27 populations. Southern Illinois, talk to guys, they say it's the worst crop they've ever seen. Indiana's been wet. Some guys are tearing up corn to plant beans. It looks so bad. So, you know, I don't think the trade looks at that, but not everybody says it's as good as what they say.
No, the crop is off to an interesting start because of the weather, Wayne. I think part of it that was in early maybe looks good, and then there's another part that kind of looked rough because it was cool there for a while in the first couple of weeks of May.
Very uneven start, Todd, and I think that we've seen some areas that have had what they think's micronutrient and some fertilizer uptake problems, some coloration problems in some, and not uptaking of nitrogen in some cases. But all in all, that warm weather that we had last week solved a whole lot of problems over in my area.
Yeah, I'll make a note on that because I talked to Fabian Fernandez, the soil fertility specialist at the University of Illinois on Friday morning, and he said just exactly that, that it looks like a micronutrient problem, but it was just a matter that that cold time frame didn't get the root system up and running as quickly as the corn plant wanted, and the warm weather will solve almost all of those problems. So we'll see how that plays out over the next several days and possibly week here. Let's take a look at some of the rest of the things that are happening in Chicago. Live cattle futures this week, a high of 92.70, a low at 90.50. Their settlement price was 90.95. They were down 85 cents. August feeders at 108.87.5 were up 45. June lean hogs, 81.75. On the high, the low at $78.95. Settlement price there at $79.05, down $2.80. What do you make of the livestock and meat complex at this point?
Well, our general impression is that we are going to see, we think we've seen some cattle liquidation. The breeding numbers will be down in the July inventory report. Our general impression is that the cattle market should support in price levels here, but we're not going to see the grand, glorious livestock industry that we've seen in the past 20 years. It's going to be more of a follower instead of a leader in the agricultural community.
A follower instead of a leader. Will the numbers be there to support the continued use of grains and oilseeds?
That's that could be a definite problem. And that's the reason why I think we have to actually realize this and support the ethanol technology and ethanol usage in the profitability mix, because the trouble is the foreign countries shut us out if there's any kind of a problem with mad cow or swine fever, and our governments just can't push it back into the marketplace. So it's going to be more of a domestic market, and if it does go to the export market, it'll be great.
All right. You are listening to Commodity Week. This is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Commodity Week, of course, posted there before it airs on any radio station at about 6 o'clock each and every Friday evening. The rest of our agricultural programming is there as well, including the pre-opening and opening market reports, the midday report, and the closing market report. It's all at willag.org and free of charge. Sign up for our weekend newsletter, too. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes when we'll talk with Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Meteorological summer started on June 1st this week, and it was a warm, wet start to summer here in Illinois. Temperatures this week averaged 5 to 7 degrees above normal, with highs well into the 80s on most days. That warmth, combined with dew points in the 60s and at times low 70s, meant that air conditioning season was getting an early start as well. The warm and humid air provided plenty of fuel for thunderstorms this week across the state. Early in the week, coverage was rather spotty, with many areas not seeing any rain at all. On Tuesday night and Wednesday morning, a cluster of thunderstorms developing over Iowa moved across Illinois, bringing substantial rain to all but far southern portions of the state. A weak cold front then stalled out along the Ohio River and began to move northward again late Thursday. That increased our chances for more showers and thunderstorms across the state through the end of the week. Don't look for much change with next week's weather, as west to east upper level winds will continue. That will mean almost daily chances for rain as disturbances travel through Illinois in the fast flow. The best chances for a good coverage rain appear to be next Tuesday into Wednesday. Temperatures next week will be near to slightly above normal. However, there are signs we could be seeing a big warm-up by next weekend as winds swing into the south and southwest. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilbert.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on June the 4th, 2010. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. In studio with us, Mike Georgi of Allendale out of Mahomet, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services from Oakland, Illinois. On the phone line is Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Glenn, thanks so much for being with us.
It's good to be back.
It's great to have you here. Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about conditions in your area and what the corn crop looks like?
Couldn't be better. We are just in great shape. Everything's in for this, for the most part, corn and beans both. Everything's emerged nicely. Spraying's gotten done in a very timely manner, and we just got an inch of rain in the last 2 days.
And then your broad view of the overall economy.
I've suggested to a couple of producers this week that they should just sell anything they want to sell, livestock, grains, stocks, and look at the markets again on August 1. That kind of sums up how I see everything. Summer should be tough.
Glenn, I know you're – this is Paul Cooley. And
yes,
you, we respect you having – taking time and being with us this afternoon. Oh. Is there any predictors of looking at the commodity trade as an indicator of political changes that are going to occur, or what has to happen in order to make things happen in that area?
Now, long term, first of all, I track some certain cycles out there, and I've been sharing since 2007 in Outlook meetings that the 2010 and 2012 elections were supposed to be repudiation elections anyway. And yes, down markets this summer are likely to have an additional negative impact on incumbents. And it really doesn't matter the party, but whichever party is in power takes most of the blame.
Glenn, I know that you've been negative this market for quite a while. I know that you were at the Beef House. How low is low going to be as we look at the December corn? How low do you think we can go to?
Well, just to clarify the point, because I always have to remind myself, I'm not negative. The market's negative. 248 to 252 has been my longstanding objective that I'd actually be surprised if we don't hit this year in December corn. $3, $2.90 are benchmarks on the way down. I would not rule out low twos.
You shocked everybody for a second. Give us time to recover, Glenn.
That'll be 2011.
Are the beans going to go to $7?
I am using, if we get November beans solidly below $8.90, I'm using $7.53, $6.51, and $5.08 as my targets.
So yes. You're telling everybody to go ahead and sell whatever they want, but how much?
They can. I don't give advice. I just give my analysis and information. My attitude is with the farmers that I work with up here in farm groups, where, again, I don't actually give them advice, but I give them suggestions, is that we should long ago be sold out of everything for 3 years, 09, 10, and 11. But the caveat is the Friday closes of this week were the in corn were the last, what I might call pristine signals I'm likely to get to. If you haven't sold yet, now's the time. So we're sold just lock, stock, and barrel right now. But we're also prepared to cover ourselves if something turns around against us. But we're sold very heavily,
okay.
Very heavily.
So tell me on the other flip side of this, what happens in the economy that makes – and I sometimes it's hard to believe that you talk about 350 corn being a good price. It used to be you'd talk about 350 corn being a good price, but at this point it seems kind of odd to talk about that. But what is it in the broader economy that tells you that 350 corn is a place to sell?
Well, it's actually not a fundamental decision. It's a technical decision to do that. But from a pattern decision this summer is very powerful. You know, if any of your readers want to request by picking my email up off the website, I wrote the last two newsletters would describe this in depth. But the bottom line on about the corn and the summer timing. But on top of that, the world economy is going through a contraction in terms of the indebtedness. We are basically going through world bankruptcy. And when you mark down debt, you actually take currency out of the system. In other words, we're taking capital out of the system, and thus we're deflating the system, and we're seeing, of course, the continuing crumbling in Europe just going to drive the dollar up. Dollar made a new high for the year today. We have really validated my view that we're probably in a multi-year bull market in the dollar, and that's negative for commodities as well. So I just think we're getting a perfect storm of contraction of capital in the world and currency pressure coming from the dollar.
What about gold and silver, Glenn?
What about them?
Which direction and how much?
Gold is still a wild card because people have been using it, viewing it as a safe haven, and I just have no idea which way gold's going to go. I am aware that if gold closes into new highs now, it'll probably keep running on and probably be because of some kind of panic. Absent that, I have gold and silver. I have silver in particular coming down a long way into below $10 on silver.
Okay, Glenn, as if we look at this, then basically you feel we're down through the summer, down through the fall, and even down through the next 9 months after that.
No. I start getting cycle lows in August.
In August.
That's the window for major bottoms, major lows will be August through December.
Okay, so is there a certain point in August or beyond in that time frame where you'll be recommending lifting hedges?
Okay, I don't officially give recommendations, but would I be considering lifting hedges? They absolutely will if the market tells me what I want it to tell me. I really suspect that the grains and stuff probably won't bottom until October, give or take. At that point in time, we will certainly consider it. One of the things that bothers me, however, about lifting hedges, take an example, it's kind of an extreme example, but look at 2011 and 2012 new crop wheat. With those markets, with having tremendous premiums out there, those I probably wouldn't lift hedges on if I sold them. But so it's going to be a case-by-case basis. On the other hand, where the back-end prices will be similar, I'll be lifting 2011 hedges of anything I'd have myself, yes. But I'll play it first. Most people are not prepared for how deep this may get. I'm worried, though, about us going flat for a year, like we did in, what was it, 1998-99.
So... earlier this year, I kept hearing about how the Chinese economy is going to grow, the Indian economy is going to grow, the demand for grains and oil seeds and everything is going to increase dramatically. We won't be able to produce enough for all of them.
Right.
So is the economy that bad that we're not going to see that, or are we going to keep producing these large yields that we're, our ending stocks are going to be huge and we don't need to go higher in the grain markets?
I think all of that is true. I think we will have a major economic problem in the world. I don't have us coming out of this thing overall until 2016. I have relief coming out of 2010 or 11 into 2012, but I don't have us finishing this thing until 2016, the way we run right now. And China is, I mean, you've got population moving out from the cities back to the country. You know, they were a bubble waiting to burst. They've had hoarding going on over there where they overstated demand. Take that back. That was demand. They overstated usage. The usage wasn't there of what they were absorbing. Yes, growth will go on, but I think we're way ahead of it. Manias like we saw that peaked in 2008 unerringly produce surpluses because if for no other reason we expand capacity to meet demand. So we overestimate demand in the long run. On those kind of times. So we will overproduce for the marketplace for quite a while.
How do you explain China's import of U.S. soybeans at a rapid pace and record pace last fall into the early part of the year, and then the import of corn at this time?
That is not my area of expertise, Todd, but I know that China likes to play games. And for whatever reason, I actually think what it is them finally stepping in a hole, making a mistake, because hoarding occurs following a mania. And I think what they did was insure themselves against running out. And so once they fill their cupboards, all of a sudden we're going to run into a hole for demand out of a deal like that is my suspicion.
Any final word from you, Glenn?
Well, you know, there's always going to be opportunities out here, but right now you got to respect the trend, and historically we often set the trend coming out of Memorial Day early in June for the summer months, and so far that's what we've done.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Hey, Glenn Ring is with Glenn Ring Enterprises. He's in Cedar Falls, Iowa. You can look him up online at glennring.com. Now a final word from our panelist in studio, Paul Cooley, ADM Investor Services.
Have a safe weekend, and hopefully Sunday night won't be too bad.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
I think that we're going to be watching the weather very closely and see what does happen in China. There's some dry areas over there.
And Wayne Nelson, Mike Georgie of Allendale.
I think this market's going to be volatile all through the summer. We saw it yesterday with the beans up and down today, and I think you're going to see a lot of volatility through the rest of the summer.
Thanks for listening to Commodity Week. This edition was recorded on the 4th day of June. You can listen to it again online anytime you'd like at willag.org. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.